The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only, Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Adults, where we bring you adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. My name is Glenn King. I am an ABN award-winning adult entertainment director slash producer, been at it for about 18 years, and each week I do some interviews, along with Jim Williams sometimes, with some of the greatest stars, both today and in the history of adult entertainment. And when you talk about the greatest stars in the history of adult entertainment, one name that is going to come to mind is, of course, Ginger Lynn. And if you're an avid listener of the show, you know that a couple weeks ago I went over to her glorious mansion and talked with Ginger. I brought with me a big list of questions because there's so many things that I wanted to ask her about. And we got through like about two questions. So I asked her if I could come back. And this week I went back to her place. And I said, I'm only going to ask five questions this time. I really narrowed it down. And then, so if you listen to this, we got through one question this time. But it's a damn good question. I asked her about her time in prison and the whole thing that went on with the Tracy Lords scandal back then. And so you'll find out more about that. And we find out some things about Ginger, of course, that you did not know. And I did not know. Always interesting things with Ginger. She's amazing. And I hope to go back and talk to her some more soon. So let's get right to it. Here you go, Ginger Lynn. All right, everybody, Glenn King back over at the Ginger Lynn Mansion here. I'm so honored to be here for what we're going to call part two of our special interview with the legendary Ginger Lynn. As you can tell, she's got a big dog, and he's outside, and he's wonderful. So, Ginger Lynn, we covered some really great stuff about your history and how you got in the business and such last time.
Right.
But I have this list of questions that are all just been burning a hole in my brain for the last 2 weeks that we just have to get to.
Now, were they things that you already had, or we got so into a wonderful piece the last time that it just was like, okay, this is one piece. Did the last piece we do inspire you to do more, or is this just what we didn't get to?
This is what we didn't get to. I was inspired. I could have asked a lot more questions that day. And I realize now that we may only get through one topic again here of this list, but some of them are things that I have been curious about for a long time. I am a student of your era of porn. I was
the best era ever.
It was the best era ever.
It really was.
Yeah. So I turned 18 in like 1986, I think. Yeah.
Okay, you're a couple years older than me.
Right. So, but anyway, that was my era of porn, and I had so many questions back then. I mean, it's funny because two of my passions are porn and pro wrestling. I watched so much of those back then, and I didn't have a way. Like today, you can get behind the scenes and get to know your porn stars.
Right.
But back then, you were all such a mystery to us who were watchers back then.
A lot of us still are mysteries. I mean, we're, with the advances that we have in technology and the internet and all these wonderful arenas that we have to communicate and to share things, it's, you'd think that you'd know people better, but I personally find that with so much going on, it scares me sometimes. And I, when I say scared, what really, it doesn't scare me. What bothers me is the shaming that goes on today.
Yeah.
You know, am I a slut? Fuck yeah. Am I a whore? No. And that's just my difference in definition. You know, a whore does something for money that they don't like. If you do something for money that you like, I don't give a fuck what you do. You're not a whore.
Right.
But, like, I worked at McDonald's for one day. I was a fucking whore that day. Right. I quit.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, being a slut, I'm fucking proud of it. Why should it be any different for a woman than it is for a man? So the opportunity for men to meet these women or to get to know them, if they're just a little bit, just be a decent human being, and you're going to get to know these girls, and you don't have to hide behind anonymity and you know, say just mean nasty things. Those don't even bother with. If you want to get to know us, you are at the point in time where that can happen.
I call it relative anonymity. So this is the problem. The best thing and the worst thing about social media is that people can be relatively anonymous. So they can say whatever they want to say and hide behind that. So on the good side, a person who was afraid to express before that he liked female domination or transgenders or whatever, he now can go out and create a character, a persona online, and be himself. On the negative, he can be the surly dickhead that he really is and call people names and try to body shame and do things and express his the bad side of himself
so it works,
without consequence.
Exactly. It works both ways. And I think, I don't mean to sound negative, I don't think most things that come through, at least for me, most of the interaction that I have with my fans, you know, I do a lot of Twitter, but I'm expanding into other social media areas.
And that's a good thing, because in a moment we're going to talk about how you can monetize the huge following that you have on social media by introducing you to a new sponsor of ours. But we're going to get to that. We also are going to follow up on what you just said by asking you about what you think of today's industry.
Okay.
But first, I have something that I don't want to not get to. I want to make sure we get to it.
Are you scared that I'm going to get you off track again?
Definitely. Well, I expect to be off track. And again, I don't expect to get most of these questions answered. But there's one area that, again, for me back in 1986 or 7 or 8, whenever this happened.
1986 is what I think.
1986, something very earth-shattering happened in the world of porn. And you're right in the middle of this scandal. I, at the time, was a humongous Tracy Lords fan. I thought, and I know most of you all that from that era hate her, having many conversations with Christy Canyon about
this. I never said that, but if her tits rot and fall off, I won't shed a tear.
But to let our listeners know what I'm talking about, so in 1986, Tracy Lords, who was one of the top five most popular porn stars in the world at the time, revealed that she had made every single one of her videos prior to turning 18 years old. Which then made them all illegal, and it made it illegal for anybody to watch them, produce them, distribute them.
Own them, have them in your home. I know one person in particular that had to be put away for a little bit, locked up in a little, get some personal time, space, because he lost everything. This was a photographer, director that was so in love with Tracy, and there, as so many people were, and devoted everything that he did to her. And so he lost everything.
Wow.
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you say he was in love with her and devoted everything to her, you mean that he was her sugar daddy?
No, not at all. No, okay. He was just a photographer and producer, director that saw something. There was something about Tracy that was mesmerizing, mm-hmm. I would say. For me, it was the shark-like eyes. But for other people, there were other things. And, you know, Suze Randall, who is my idol in the adult industry, or just as a woman in general, will defend Tracy to her grave.
Really?
And wow. Well, let's start with, you want me to just tell you the story? Or do you want to ask questions?
Well, I want you to tell the story. I want you to start with just your first experiences in working with her. She was, and by the way, I'm not going to say that I've actually seen any Tracy Lords videos because she was underage. So I'm speculating here about Tracy Lords.
Of course.
Of course. Of course. I did see Tracy Lords, Tracy, I Love You, which was the one movie that she made after
she was 18.
She was 18 years old. So that's what I'm going on. The thing about Tracy Lords that I think was somewhat unique is that she was a female dominant in a world of female submissives. Like, really, a porn movie is usually based upon a guy taking charge.
Right.
But Tracy was a aggressive performer who...
See, now, I didn't know that. I worked with Tracy probably a half a dozen times, and she didn't bring out the aggressive on me, so I didn't see that side. When I first met Tracy, it was actually, we were doing a film, and I want to say it was Kinky Business. And Tracy had the lead role. Sister Dearest. What was it called?
I don't know, because I haven't seen any of these movies.
That's right. I think it was Sister Dearest. And we met in the parking lot of a grocery store across from Jim South's office. Jim South was my agent.
Jim. He had a Texas drawl.
Jim South. Yeah. Everybody was darling. And he'd sell his mama for $50 a day.
Yes.
We were all $50 a day. It was a flat rate. You can take whoever you want.
Yes, you would. We could go off for hours talking about Jim South, but yeah, you go to his office and he would hand you these big books full of Polaroids that were awful.
They were
just the worst looking photos.
Well, he would take us in the back room, and it was the shag carpet from the 70s. Even though this was 80s, it was horrible. And there was a big wicker chair, and everybody got their photos. You walked in, hi, how are you? You know, this is nude modeling. How do you feel about it? There was the conversation. And then if you still wanted to do it, once he explained it to you, this was before the agents, I will use quotation marks, because I call them pimps these days. Sorry, that's just my personal opinion. So I met Jim. We took the horrible photos in the office. Jim would bring out the books. But this day, a lot of times if the location was in an odd place or it was a really expensive mansion, they didn't want everybody to know, we would meet in a parking lot of a grocery store. And so we both showed up. Tracy, I don't know how she got into makeup before I did, or even where makeup was, or maybe she did her own hair, but she had those big pink rollers in her hair. She had on a pair of, remember the dolphin shorts that were kind of slit on the sides that everybody wore in the 80s?
Okay.
She was wearing a pair of shorts like that and a little cut-off top. And just when I first saw her, I'm like, oh, she's going to be so much fun. She's gorgeous. These big, beautiful titties. And I'm just like, and she was pretty. And then I said hello, and it was a whole fucking different thing. Whole different thing. That woman, I can swear. I swear quite a bit. She's a truck driver. She puts me to shame. Puts me to shame.
Sure.
And so what happened between us is there was a definitely competition. And I think because of what you said earlier, saying she was a dominant, I don't think that she felt she could be that way with me. I'm always nice to everybody, but there was just she knew I didn't like her. She didn't like me. There were very few people who did like Tracy.
Yeah.
Tom Byron's the only one that comes to mind, and Suze Randall. So we did several films together, and I was in my very first home I bought in Beverly Hills. I was up in the hill, and I was all excited, and I just got, just because I love life, and I just got out of the shower. I've got a towel around me, and there's a knock on the door, and I'm me, so I just went to the door in my towel with my two Rottweilers.
Sure.
And it was the district attorney's office. There were two people from the district attorney's office, and they said they had some questions to ask me. And my first response was, oh, you must be looking for Amberlynn. I don't even have a parking ticket. That was what I said. Because I'm really going, the fuck would anybody be at my house for? You know?
Yeah.
There was no... And so I invited them in. I said, let me go get dressed. They came in. I set them in my dining room. Went upstairs, put some clothes on, came on back on down. And we started talking. And I noticed that there was a tape recorder. And there was a woman and a man in her bag. And we'd said maybe two things, you know, is this your name? And, you know, do you know this person? Very basic questions. And I went, I don't have an attorney because I don't need one, but I have an entertainment attorney, only attorney I know. I'm calling him. So I called my entertainment attorney and I said, I've got somebody from the DA's office here. And they want me to talk about Tracy Lords. And he said, don't say another word. And so I didn't. And I was asked to testify in front of the grand jury by the district attorney's office.
Okay, hold on. Now you're skipping some stuff. So you didn't know, of course, that Tracy was underage when they came by. Then when did you find out?
I found out most of the details through my attorney because I didn't want to meet with these people. I had to give a deposition and there were questions, but, the district attorney's office, the people from there, the woman, she's the one that told me that Tracy was underage and, they felt, that I would be helpful because I knew so many people. I found out later on, and I have the document to prove it. I got a hold of something that I shouldn't have, and what it was a statement that Tracy had made about the industry, and that the three people that should be going out, they should go after, that know everything and everybody, are Ginger Lynn, Harry Reams, and Tom Byron. Those are your three people. And I have that sheet with her statement saying that.
Okay, now, just to make sure I understand, the district attorney's office wanted to use you to prosecute other people. They wanted to roll you up, essentially.
They wanted me to testify against 64 film producers on her behalf.
Yeah.
They wanted me to identify people through photos. One of the photos that I remember distinctly being shown was taken on the movie Sister Dearest or Kinky Business, whichever one it was that I'm thinking of that Tracy and I worked on the first time. So the first time I worked with her, there were people that knew she was there. Someone was taking photos behind bushes in this house, this mansion up in Beverly Hills. And it wasn't like a crew member sneaking off a little side picture. This was somebody, you could see, you know, the trees, and somebody was not there and taking photos. So as far as who knew what and when they knew it and who was involved, the whole thing, it smells really fucking funny to me. You know, why would you have pictures? Where did you get these pictures? And if you do have these pictures, doesn't that mean that you knew what was going on for a long time? You continued to let this happen? Did you start it in the first place? Was the whole thing a setup? Looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. What's the whole duck analogy? There's just too many things that were wrong. So my role, what they wanted me to do was they determined that they wanted me to do this I have to tell you the district attorney story. So the district attorney wants me to testify in front of a grand jury. I deny. I say no.
Right. Okay, but again, let me clarify for our listeners. The issue here, if we're gonna look at it from the DA side, correct me if I get wrong here.
Okay.
Is that if you prosecute this case and everyone says, well, we didn't know she was 18 year or under 18 years old, your case is gonna look a little bit weak in front of a jury. So they needed to find somebody that would either lie on their behalf or tell them, basically, they didn't find somebody that would say, yeah, they knew she was under 18.
Exactly. And the Mies Commission was in full swing. Mm-hmm. You know, this was when...
All right, so the Mies Commission, for our listeners, is that under Ronald Reagan, the Attorney General decided that they were going to be anti-porn, they set up a commission to study the negative effects of porn, which, by the way, they found, basically, there are very few negative effects of porn. But they wanted to do that, and then they wanted to prosecute obscenity cases. So you're this is the worst time to be involved.
Couldn't have been. It was the best time to be in the business. I had the best time ever. I'd retired. Just retired a couple months before this all started. So when I refused to testify, the U.S. attorney came in and told me, if you do not testify, we will make your life very difficult.
Yeah.
So I went before the grand jury, and this is when most of the information was revealed to me. This is when I was shown photograph after photograph of people, and who is this, and what's this person's real name, and who took the IDs that day, it was just, they had so much material. It was amazing. I'm blonde, I'm naturally a redhead, and so I have a really bad memory. I think I just have had too much peroxide in my head over the years. I didn't recognize anybody.
Oh.
I didn't. Didn't.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, that happens.
I made a lot of movies. I don't know.
Sure.
I can't remember who I slept with this morning.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't a big druggie on sets. I had about 4 films that I can recall that I did drugs on, and it was not good for sex. That's a whole nother thing.
I guess.
So...
Okay, but did they want you to lie?
They wanted me to say that I knew that they knew she was underage.
Yes.
They wanted me to testify against them, saying they knew, everybody knew, nobody cared, nobody checked IDs, nobody did this.
And you told them nobody, and you told them before this thing that, look, nobody knew this girl had a fake ID.
Of course not. Who, and you would not, by looking at her,
right,
and the way she held herself, presented herself, came across, as you said, she was a dominant performer.
Yeah,
in
males,
a world
actually. When she was doing a sex scene with men, she was the aggressor,
right,
as opposed to usually the man was the aggressor. Although, that's something we're going to talk about today's porn.
You don't see a whole lot of victim aggressors, do you?
Right.
Sorry?
That's a good point. Right,
I just
exactly.
Hit me, and I'm thinking, so go on.
Well, that is a difference between... there were actually a lot of male performers back in the 80s who were soft and, you know, gentlemanly and
right,
whatever as porn. But nowadays, the male performers want to be jackhammers constantly.
They're not just jackhammers. They're... I did, you know, a short comeback in 2005. And I remember I was working with James Dean, and I felt like a fucking puppet, you know, because
yeah,
we started off the scene because I was very attracted to him. We'd worked before together. I was really excited about the scene.
Yeah.
And he started, you know, the director, and he started talking while we're filming, and I'm like, whoa, no. Okay, this is not going to go down this way. James, what do you like? What turns you on? What do you want to do? Here's what I like. You know, and if the director, if you're telling me what to do while I'm doing it, I'm going to lose. It's like a ballerina, and you stop her in the middle of a play or of a performance. You don't stop me. So I noticed a big change in, there were dominant males in, like, Jamie Gillis was about as fucked up as you could.
Freaky. I'm a huge Jamie Gillis fan.
Love Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie, in one scene, I don't remember why or how, but he took me by the hair, and he pulled up this top of a toilet seat, put my head in it, put the lid over it, made me suck his dick through the toilet seat. And with anybody else, you would go, that's fucked up. With Jamie, you're like, okay. My first anal was accidentally with Jamie. I was doing a scene for Suze Randall, one of the Suze Centerfolds, and Jamie's behind me, and we're just going, and he just slips at my butt, and I'm new, way new, and I didn't know what to do, so I just pretended I just went with it, so...
I'm a male performer at times. I do understand how that can, like, you know, people get mad and say, oh, he knew, he was sticking in her ass. But it is
sometimes possible.
They're right next to each other.
Exactly. Everything gets sloppy and wet. So let's
get
back to
the Tracy
Lords.
Well, and what you're talking about is Gonzo, and that's where the new kind of porn that wasn't around back then. We're going to talk about that later. But first, I need to talk to our listeners about our new sponsor.
We have a new sponsor?
We have a new sponsor. It's Sex Panther. Sex Panther. Let me tell you why Sex Panther is great.
Okay.
Listeners of our show have gotten gotten to know porn stars through the show because I ask them intimate questions and I bring things out. And right. then the listeners are like, wow, I wish I could have been there for that interview. I wish I could have asked her some questions myself. And, you know, that's people like Christy Canyon, Christina Rose, Kimberly Chi, Eva Nadi. Well, here's the thing. You, the listeners, can talk to all of those people. You can actually just send them a text and have a conversation with them. You can send them a dick pic, and they will look at your dick pic and tell you if they like it or not. They can send you pictures. They can send you video, and they just charge you by the texts. So it's kind of like paid texting.
So there's no talking on the.
There's talking. You can
if
you
want. Too. Okay.
If they want, actually, so on the performer side, if you're on this,
right.
you can say, okay, today I feel like talking to people, so I'm going to make myself available for phone calls, and you can set your rate for whatever you want to do for phone calls. If you just want to text back and forth with people, you set up a rate per text, and you can put up a different rate for pictures versus just plain text. And some people will want to just talk to you about your artwork. And about your life and ask you questions, and others want to exchange pictures with you and whatever, and all of this can be done.
Some, I'm sure, want to talk dirty.
Some want to talk dirty, absolutely. All
yeah.
of this can be done
absolutely.
Through Sex Panther. The girls that I just
Sex
named.
Sex Panther.
S-E-X-T-P-A-N-T-H-E-R. Sex, like sexting.
Sexpanther.com.
Go there. Start talking to Christy Canyon today. She's on that thing all day long. Talk to Christina Rose. Christina is the dirtiest girl in all of porn.
This is amazing. I love this.
Yeah, well, so let's – now I'm going to turn to camera two over here, which
Uh-oh.
Actually towards you, and point
okay.
and talk about the performer side of things because a lot of people – We now have 50,000 subscribers to this podcast, and
That's
many of them
fabulous.
Absolutely, many of them are porn stars, webcam artists, fetish performers, etc., who listen to the show, and they really value the advice that our performers give them. And I have advice for you now. If you're a performer or a webcam artist or whatever, you've done the obvious part, which is build up your social media following. Now
right.
you need to figure out, how do I monetize these people? How do I actually make money off of having 200,000 Instagram followers?
Right.
This is how you do it. You just let them know that, hey, I'm available to text and sext with you on sexpanther.com/, let's just say, Christina Rose. And so if you're a performer, you set it up like that,
That's
and then your fans
great.
Can contact you. And you don't have to worry about, well, what if they text me at 3 a.m. or whatever? It's all controlled by you. You can turn it off at night. You can turn it on for the hours that you want to. You're not giving out your real phone number. They have a high-tech system where somebody texts a different number or whatever, and then it goes to you. So you're not violating your privacy.
That's fantastic. I would love to talk to my fans like that. You know, I get a lot of emails, and I answer every single one of them. But I'm old school. I like to actually talk to people. I text. That's not a problem. But I think to have the opportunity to actually have a conversation with a fan rather than, you know, what's your favorite color? You know, it's not as fluid when you do it through the social media the way it's done today. So Sex Panther gives me the opportunity to monetize, but even more so and better for me than that is I want to know my questions from my fans, what they want to know, and I want to know things about them too.
Yeah.
So I think it would be it's a win-win for everybody.
This is something that you have to do. I'm telling you right now,
Help
I refuse to
up.
Leave the Gingerland Mansion today until you are signed up because you're depriving your fans of gracing them with you. And they want to get to know you and they want to talk to you and so on. And I know they're going to be lining up for this. So we're signing you up for Sex Panther.
All right. All right. And I can do pictures because I do pictures every single day on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I have tens of thousands of photos. I'm one of those girls that has saved everything. If I don't have the actual movie that I'm in, because I used to save all of them, but then friends come over and you start giving them away, I at least have a box cover from every movie I've ever made. And so a lot of the things I put up are memory things. It's like, oh my God, remember Barbara Dare and I in the bathtub scene in Blame It on Ginger. So I'll put up the box cover and then, you know, write a little bit about what's going on. But this way I could share things like this that, you know, what's your favorite movie? Well, here's the box cover. I'd have photos to go with it. So I'm going to have you set me up for Sex Panther.
I'm excited. I'm probably going to text you on there myself. I have so many questions.
I have to do this interview.
Right from now on, there'll be sexting
questions. And for you,
questions.
Only $99 per minute.
Fair enough. I asked her to be in one of my videos one time. She told me, I think, $10,000 or something. So
I'm not cheap.
She said very expensive.
I am expensive, but I'm worth it.
All right, so just to sum up what we're talking about, Sex Panther, if you are a fan of any porn star at all, go to sexpanther.com, SexPanther.com. Scroll through all the amazing ladies on there and find your favorite porn star and start texting today. If you're a performer who wants to start monetizing her social media, go to sexpanther.com and sign up today. There you go. Sexpanther.com.
I'm going to be on it.
Yes. And by the way, people, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. Get on there. Talk to Ginger Lynn. This is somebody that you've never had the opportunity to speak directly with before, and now you're going to get that opportunity.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, so let's get back to our Tracy Lord story over here.
Okay.
You were asked to speak to the grand jury. You had a memory cloud of where suddenly you couldn't remember any pictures.
My nickname is Dory.
Yes.
You know, it really is. So I just didn't remember anything. So after how do I put this? They did not go after Tom or Harry. Tom Dick Reams. There's no Dick in there. Tom Byron, Harry Reams. After they started with me, it was such a hassle. I think they thought that we were going to be these naive, you know.
Pushovers,
you
like know, me. I would have been a pushover.
Most people were.
Yeah.
So what happened was I refused to testify against these people, and I went before the grand jury, remembered nothing. 5 years to the day, which was the time limit they had to charge me with something, they had tried to charge me with tax evasion. I paid all my taxes. What they did was, they charged me with willfully subscribing to a false tax return. Basically, what they said was there was $2,087.04 that went into my account. There was no W-2 for it, no 1099, no whatever. It was not mandatory that employers 1099 or their employees at that time. So I had money in the bank that they couldn't tell where it came from. And they charged me with willfully subscribing to a false tax return.
Wow.
So I was facing 6 years in prison. What happened was they brought in all of these people that they wanted me to testify against. They brought them in to testify against me.
Huh.
And they told them, if you don't tell us what we need to hear, this is not going to end. You're next. So you've got all these producers and directors going, okay. And what they were saying was that I knew that she was underage and that they had paid me this much money. So I had one company that had a woman who worked there. And my money went into my bank account. I didn't, you know, people write you checks. Very rarely did you ever get paid in cash. It just wasn't a cash business.
Right.
So they knock on my door. They charge me with willfully subscribing to a false tax return. And I'm facing 6 years in prison. All of these different people came forward and basically said whatever the government, they just wanted it to look like, you know, I was a fuck up and a liar, and they wanted to get even with me because I did not make I was going to be that pushover, and their case with Tracy was going to be just a slam dunk.
But they're prosecuting you by basically saying you accepted $2,000 from somebody who didn't report it as income.
Yes.
Those people that are testifying against you, did they know where the $2,000 came? How were they?
No.
Nobody
did. They were
just character witnesses to say you're a bad person?
Basically, or how much did you pay her? And did you pay her in cash? And I had one company that the woman there that worked there, she was so sweet. She didn't know that everything was cool, and I wanted the real records. I wanted everybody, bring the shit. Bring your contracts. I've got mine. Bring yours.
Yeah.
And one of the women at a company, she started a fire in their office to burn all the files because she loved me so much.
What company was that? Do you remember?
No, she died of AIDS.
Okay.
Do you know? Does that give you any help?
Well, there were a number of porn stars who died of HIV. Lisa DeLeo?
It wasn't DeLeo. Lisa DeLeo died of a brain tumor.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to hear that. I'm not glad that she died of brain tumor.
Yeah,
she's kind of glad she didn't die of HIV.
Yeah. No, but it was somebody that was married to somebody in the business.
Okay.
And she got HIV through him.
Gotcha.
We can talk about it later. Oh. It turned out that there were three counts that they tried to charge me on, and they found me guilty on the one.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum they could sentence me to was 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the day, I don't know if it was a sentencing, or it was a day, and I was by the water fountain, and I was just crying. I was just beat. I was just done. During the trial, I had a cyst burst in my ovary and spent 9 days in the hospital, which made the prosecutor furious because he had his family vacation planned, and they thought I'm faking it. I'm like poison.
Yeah.
I'm in there, you know, spazzing out and losing it there. And so it went on forever.
And were you considering at any point? You must have been considering just giving in.
Nope.
Giving them what they want.
Not for a second.
My
grandfather was a cop, and you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't snitch, you don't steal.
I wish
snitching
I could say that I'm
is right
like
up there.
Because I agree, but I don't know. If you put me under those circumstances, I probably would say, all right, you want me to lie about Ginger? She's a murderer. She's an absolute ex-murderer. I think
most people would because it's instinct. You know, you protect yourself.
Protect yourself first,
yeah. Yeah, and so I don't point fingers at anybody. I'm not angry. My two favorite people that came that day, Suze Randall, or not that day, it was over a two-week period and then more time because of my health issues, but Suze Randall, I'm on the stand, or she's walking up to the stand, I'm sitting by my lawyer, and the jury is on one side, and she puts her hand up, and like a thumbs up for, and thumbs up to Ginger, you know, she's doing like hand signals, the judge, everybody in the courtroom can see her, and she's
bless
just
her heart,
adorable, though. And yeah. I worked for Suze probably more than anyone else. We had several contracts where she shot me. I wrote stories for magazines, and so I would do pictorials every month that went with the stories, and I did a lot for Club International, and then we did Club Magazine General, and we did a lot of work together. And the other one that got up and didn't give a fuck, and I love him, and we just lost him recently, was Russ Hampshire. Russ got up and he's like, fuck no, you know, I write it, this is a business, people come in, we pay them, they do their job, we pay them, and this is how it is. Why would she know anything about the Russ was and Suze both were just amazing.
Yeah,
everyone else, I don't want to bring up any names, but it was, I felt bad for the people because they're walking up and they're like not making eye contact, and you know, it was a really big deal.
Is there a name that you want to throw out of somebody that you felt was like beyond what was reasonable?
Bob Beese.
Okay.
Photographer.
Yeah.
Just like so wormy and so, you know, like, what do you want me to say? Kind of a thing. And it's not like they had a million questions. They had so many witnesses and so many, you know, people, you know, they were just trying to prove that I didn't pay my taxes. But, you know, obviously they brought it in and brought up so many Tracy Lords issues. So it turned out the prosecutor saw me crying and he said, just say you're guilty. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not guilty. I spent $450,000. On a trial for a crime I did not commit over a $2,087 and $4 issue.
Which they could get anybody I know.
It was just...
Anybody I know has
and I've
money
been audited three times since.
From. Yeah.
They still check me out all the time. So I did not get 6 years. What the judge sentenced me with was 750 hours of community service. That's a lot of fucking hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And mandatory drug testing. And the drug testing was you called in every day to check, and so you never knew. You called that night to find out if you had to go in the next day. So anything that you would do would be in your system if you did. I was allowed to drink alcohol, so there wasn't a problem there. My community service, I was allowed to travel to do my touring, my stripping shows. And so I'd go out there, and I'm like, nasty and filthy and sitting. If you're bald, I'm going to sit on your head and rub my pussy on it. And I'm just, you know.
I think I saw one of your shows, actually. I think I have a picture somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I loved doing it.
Caligula. You would have been at Caligula.
Caligula. Yeah. Yes, many times. Yeah. I loved Caligula.
Yeah.
One of my favorite clubs. Yeah. Not there anymore.
No, it was the owners may or may not have burned it down.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insurance settlement, but we're speculating.
You just don't know.
All right, we're going to find out about what her jail sentence and what it was like to go to jail after we talk about our other big sponsor, which, of course, is Blue Chew, bluechew.com. Blue Chew is the world's first provider of a chewable erectile dysfunction erectile enhancement supplement that contains the same active ingredients as they do in Viagra and Cialis, which you can now get generics of. So that's what we're talking about here. So I'm a 50-year-old guy who performs in videos. We've talked about this many times on the show. Right now I'm filming a feature, which costs more to make, and we put a lot more effort into. But I am the lead male character in this movie. It's called Cuck Queen. It's actually about a wife who becomes a cuckold.
Oh.
Yeah. So we've shot three of the most amazing scenes I've ever participated in my life. And we have one more scene to go.
You're so lucky. But for a man, I just have to stop you for a second here. As a woman, you know, if I was having a shitty day, I could, if I had to, fake an orgasm. I preferred not to. I'm like, this is my job. I want to come. What are you talking about? But for the male performers and just men in general, it's different. You can't just do it on command. And there's a point in time for everyone and that this happens. So to have a chewable pill that you can take. So you're in the middle of the movie. You've done three of the four scenes. They're fantastic.
Three scenes. I've performed with Noemi Bilas, who's a beautiful African-American girl. I've performed with Nina L., who is a blonde bombshell. I performed with Kiara Cole, who is the hottest 19-year-old in the universe these days.
Oh, my goodness.
And every one of those scenes so far. And by the way, the first scene we released is going crazy with sales. But every one of the scenes, if you watch, you go, wow, he had wood. That's amazing, the entire scene. And I have my next scene coming up next week. I really like the girl. She is, her name is Kimberly Chi.
Oh, I know Kimberly Chi.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
I fucked her. She's awesome.
Isn't she? So, you know, Kimberly gets into your head. She's so, what's the word for it I'm looking for? She's such a mentally stimulating person.
Yes. Yes.
So you don't want, so not only do I not want to lose the money and do a shitty scene and, you know, screw up my own video, but I really like Kimberly and I don't want to disappoint her as well.
Aww.
But I have no fear whatsoever because I use Blue Chew. It was a roundabout, long way of saying so, but here's the payoff, guys.
All right.
I use Blue Chew. Blue Chew gives me the confidence that I need as well as the erections that I need to succeed.
How long does it take to come into effect?
20, 30 minutes.
Perfect.
Because it's chewable, it gets to you a lot faster.
Okay.
I use the generic that is the same ingredients as Cialis, and then I take it the night before usually. So what I do is I'll take one the night before, and then the day of, if we start doing the pictures and I'm thinking, boy, I'm not getting the kind of erections, the kind of 7.5-inch erections that I want, I take a second one, and then the second one 20 minutes later pulls in. Which to that actually gets you to the recommended Doctors recommend 10 milligrams of Cialis as the average prescription. Right. These pills are 5 each, so okay. You can take one or two.
Right.
You can take two, and you're still within the range of what doctors are saying.
Blue Chew's awesome.
Blue Chew is awesome, and if you are listening to the show and you're thinking, oh, is he full of shit? What? Should I try this? Here's the answer. You should try it, and I'm going to make this a no-brainer for you because you can use my promo code, ADULT, to try it for free. You just go to the website, go to bluechew.com. So, you're going to fill out a little box that you goes to the doctor, and you're going to say, I have troubles with erections, or I need better erections, or whatever. A doctor reviews it. They write a prescription for you. And but then you're going to – there's a box that says promo code at checkout. You've put in adult. And it'll be free, and they're just going to charge you $5 for shipping.
Oh, will you help me when we're done? We'll do that too?
Sign you up. We will sign
yeah,
you up. Absolutely.
So I'm going to do Blue Chew. It's not from – I'm not going to chew it. But,
of course.
It's for my partner, so Blue Chew, and I want to be part of that too.
There you go. So sign up for BlueChew.com. Ginger's going to sign up her man. Everyone should be signing up for this thing because it's free. So
yeah.
What are you waiting for out there? Go get yourself some Blue Chew. Have better erections. And more importantly, have the confidence to walk into any situation knowing that you're going to perform like a champ. So
absolutely.
There you go. Thank you so much, BlueChew.com, for sponsoring us. Let's get back to our interview with Ginger Lynn. So you're in court. You have bravely stood up to the American justice system, which is sort of based on rolling people up to get them to testify against other people. They sentence you to community service and to
drug testing. Well, with the community service, because I was touring and dancing at the time, I was on the road usually about 3 weeks out of the year or out of the month. So I'd be out on the stage being naughty and nasty and wild. And then I would go in the back and I'm knitting. What I did for my community service was I did 100 blankets for vets in wheelchairs. I just did wheelchair blankets for everybody. So it was actually very therapeutic. And I felt like it was really doing something for the community.
Yeah, I applaud this. I'm a big fan of veterans and doing things for veterans. So
my
dad
was a veteran.
Good.
You know, one of my uncles. So, yeah,
good.
Absolutely. So, I'm doing great. I've got 3 months left of my 3 years of probation. It's almost over. You know, I've been passing all my tests. Everything is wonderful. It's Cannes Film Festival time. Now, I don't know if I say it right. I hear con, I hear can't. I say can't.
Okay.
So,
C-A-N-N-E-S, but it's French, so you can pronounce it any way you want to.
Cannes. So I went to Cannes for the film festival,
right. Okay.
which I was given permission to do. And I'm on the beach doing my thing, and there's, you know, all the reporters and all the press, and every time that, you know, there's the interviews, and there's just huge, huge crowds, and it's just amazing. And I look down to the next place where there's somebody with a bigger fucking crowd. I'm not happy about this. This is my moment right now. I'm in Cannes for the lead in my first lead in a mainstream film that had a theatrical release. And we're in Cannes for the film festival. I went down to the other platform, and it was Charlie Sheen. And Charlie and I had broken up. We were together a little over 2 years straight, and then off and on for another 3 years. So we were off at that point. And it reminded me, I swear to God, of that commercial where the two people on the beach start running. And so,
aww.
You know, it was just, we ran into each other, ended up spending, I moved over to his hotel, hung out with him and Clint Eastwood and all these cool people. And Charlie was going on to Vienna to do the Three Musketeers. So he said, why don't you come to Vienna with me? And I'm like, okay. So we fly to Vienna. Well, I was engaged to someone else and was wearing their ring, and I'm out with Charlie. I'm out with Oliver Platt. I'm out with Chris O'Connell, know, and we're like doing go-karts and all these crazy things. And the press, I was taking photos, and I don't think twice about it. Well, it was still my partying days, let's say. And I may or may not have ingested some substances that stayed in my system for a while. And because I was wearing the ring, the press thought that I was back with Charlie and we were engaged.
Uh-huh.
So my probation officer, I got a new one while I was gone. I had the coolest woman for all these years, and some dude steps in for my last 3 months, and I always say they were waiting for me at the airport, but it was, you know, call in and you're drug testing tomorrow. And I didn't pass.
Yeah.
So I was back to facing my 6 years in prison.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's not... Do we have time? How are we doing?
Well, we're already 50 minutes in. Which, by the way, you're listening to Let's Talk Adult with Glenn King and our guest, the very, very special legendary Ginger Lynn. We're going to take our final commercial break really quickly and be right back to hear the end of this story with Ginger Lynn.
Life is about making decisions. At BMW i, we decided it was time to reinvent the car from the ground up. Making sure we were open for truly innovative ideas. We decided that the car we wanted must be electric. And it should be made of extremely light and super strong carbon fiber. And finally, we decided to make it more intelligent and added our promise of incomparable driving pleasure. We made all these decisions to offer you a choice. The all-electric BMW i3.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
All right, and we're back with Ginger Lynn, and now we're going to hear the end of the story here, or at least the end of the first question that I asked her today. All right, so you're on probation, and you found out you violated the terms of your probation because
yes.
of one incident
yes.
where you tested positive for some form of illegal substance. What happened?
I also got in trouble for going to a country I did not have permission to go. I just flew off to Vienna. I didn't.
So you did have permission to go to France for the film festival.
Right.
But then you didn't have permission to move to the next place.
No, and because I was almost done with my probation, I wasn't really having to test or do anything. I never, you know, it was like the end. So what happened was, I was in bed. I knew that I was going to have to go to jail. My father drove from Illinois. And at like 9 a.m, my phone rings and I answer it, say hello. And then they hang up on me and I'm like, what's that? My grandmother's already here staying with me. And not 20 minutes later, I hear the doorbell ring. And it was just that slow motion. I just knew something. It was something bad. And so Graham's like walking. She's got the Wheel of Fortune on. She's walking towards the front door. And I get there just in front. And I'm like, no, don't answer the door. And so my dad is already actually in L.A. with my girlfriend. They're at the bank clearing out my safe deposit box, all my accounts. You know, I'm going away. So we're just getting everything ready. The marshals actually... Well, as I was trying to figure out how to make that rope, because my condo was on the third floor, like they always do in the movies, out of sheets.
Yes.
The marshals were, I'm covered in paint. The marshals were busy taking the door off the hinges.
And in the movies, the marshals don't stand in the back of the house also, but I think in real life, don't they actually try to anticipate where you might go if you're going to bolt?
Well, there, I was three stories up. There was no one below me.
Okay.
Anyway, they had a big van, and what happened was I heard my dad's voice, "Ginge, I'm home." And so that's when I opened the door and just, I just needed my dad there. I knew I was going. I knew I had to, but I wanted my dad. You know, it was that little girl in me came out. So they handcuffed me, shackled me, hands and feet. They did let me get dressed because I was just wearing a T-shirt that I was sleeping in. Took me to, where did I go first? I went to the holding cell. And so I'm in the holding cell, and I've never been in jail in my life. I literally don't have any parking tickets. I'm just like a good girl.
Yeah.
Or just never gotten caught. And so I'm in there for 12 hours, and it was the worst experience. It just kept getting worse and worse. It's 20 women in a piss-stained floor, dirty. There's a roll of toilet paper, but the girl that looks like she will murder you if you look at her is using the toilet paper as a pillow. You know,
and what city jail is this?
This is Los Angeles.
Okay, Los Angeles County lockup, yeah. Over in downtown.
Downtown,
right?
Oh, downtown,
God, of,
yeah.
All the places, yeah.
And so,
because if you end up in like Burbank or whatever,
oh yeah, you're cool.
Actually,
no, I was downtown LA, and so most of the people that were in the holding tank were coming to or from court. You know, they were already in MDCLA, which is where I was on my way to.
Mm-hmm.
So I get arrested. I'm in the holding tank. Jethro, love Jethro. Jethro is the guard. Jethro's a fan. Lunch comes. Everybody gets their bag with a sandwich in it. Jethro brings me McDonald's.
Okay.
Everybody hates me. And so it was like the jail movies, like I'm going to be killed here. And there were two women in there, Juanita and Juice.
Okay.
Juice was about 2 foot tall, little Asian woman. Juanita was the biggest, tallest Mexican I've ever seen. She wasn't an overweight woman. She was just a big ass woman. And the two of them they protected me. They didn't say anything to do anything. They just sat by me. You know, and nobody fucked with me.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was great. So yeah. Then I go to prison. I'm in there for 12 hours. Jethro made things worse with the McDonald's. So fans, sometimes it's great, but sometimes you got to pick your timing better. So I get, it's like 2 in the morning now, and they finally take me over. And the jail, it's dark. Everybody's, you know, sleeping, and it's in lockdown.
Wait, why do you suppose they waited till 2 a.m. to
I have
you
no
to
idea.
The-
Other people left.
That just seems mean.
I think I know why. I'll tell you as the story goes on.
Okay.
So they bring me over, and there's a cell. Now, I learned later that the cells are in groups. There's the Hispanic group. There's the Brazilian group. There's the Colombians are over here. And there's one white girl there in one cell. So they put me in a cell that I would have been killed if there was anybody else in there. So they put me in. They hand me some dirty, I shouldn't say dirty, washed, blood soaked and urine soaked underwear and clothes, just filth. It's just like somebody else's old crud on it. And I'm up in, so I've got my clothes on, and I'm on the top bunk, and I'm just thinking, how in the fuck did this happen? And I'm in prison. I'm in like MDCLA. I am where, like, the big bad people. There's the like Colombian drug dealers. There's murderers. So here's what happened. So that night, I'm in for maybe a half an hour in my bed crying. Two guards walk in. They're out of uniform, and they start talking about how they like the way I sucked dick. Now, I've been in that movie, and I don't want to do it in real life.
Yeah.
I basically have a mental breakdown and just flip the fuck out. And they're laughing hysterically. They think this is the funniest thing in the world. So they leave. I make it through the night. Nobody bothers me. In the morning, I'm reassigned to a cell with the other white girl that's in prison. And I'm not being racist here. I'm saying it's dangerous. You know, if you're the minority and you don't have, like, a gang of people and you don't have somebody looking out after you, you are fucked. Yeah. While I was there, there was a girl that narked on somebody, and they took her down to the last cell, sodomized her with a toilet brush, and put out her left eye.
Oh,
okay? There was, like, so I wasn't in, you know, they say, oh, it's federal,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you're not in a white collar.
Plus,
A friend of mine went to a federal prison. There was a yellow line around the facility, and they just, he wasn't allowed to step across the yellow line. Like, they didn't even have fences.
Yeah.
But that's not, you were in one of those high security
federal prison.
Not a state, it was a federal.
Federal. Yeah, no, but I'm just letting people know that federal prisons are not all that they look like on TV.
Right.
So my life is hell. Everybody knows who I'm doing. I'm on TV every night. There's one TV in the middle room and, you know, the extra or, you know, whatever show that's on tonight. I'm on the fucking news. It's like, is she married to Charlie Sheen? Is she just in prison? Did she, you know, it's like, it's hell. I get one phone call a day. You get 5 minutes. So the next morning, I just skipped or just added things that happened later on. But the next morning I called my attorney and I told him what had happened. And what I didn't know is that all phone calls are recorded. My attorney did know that. And so he had access to them. So he was, well, during the conversation, he said, I'm going to contact the Wall Street Journal. I'm going to contact this, you know, again, this is my entertainment attorney.
Yeah.
I hired somebody that sucked, but my entertainment attorney was really who I didn't know anybody. So I end up, what happens is word kind of spreads that Ginger Lynn has been, not abused, but fucked with in prison.
Yeah.
And I've got a big mouth. You know, I'm on the phone and I'm crying, I'm screaming, I'm hollering, I'm yelling, and I'm upset, and I get me the fuck out of here. And, you know, I wasn't the little quiet, wild child while I was in there. A quiet, wild child. So 17 days later, this is after seeing heroin for my first time. This is after me learning how to take a light bulb out of the thing, take a pencil, you shave off the wood on the outside, you put the lead in, and you get fire, you can smoke in your room. I learned how to mix and fix heroin. I learned how to cut coke cans so that you could do it the right way. I learned how to tie off my roommate. I was in a drop cell. A drop cell is one that has a vent in it that drops down to each cell. I had that vent. So everybody was in and out of my room all day. It's the drop cell. You want chocolate, you go to, you know, it's four floors down. You want heroin, you go six floors down. One of the girls that I met was wearing a vial of blood, and she and her boyfriend, they would drop and share blood every day. They would drink each other's blood. There was one place for the women. So, you know, I did make my own shank. I made it out of my razor and a pencil and a rubber band. It wasn't the best one, but I needed one. It was the scariest. I stayed to myself, my acting saved my fucking life. My grandfather being a cop saved my fucking life. So after 17 days, I was brought before the judge, and miraculously there were what they were going to do was I needed to do 30 days in rehab and then 3 months in Gateway CC, which is a halfway house. My roommates, there were over 70 men and there were six or seven women. I lived with Essie the arsonist, Margaret the murderer, I swear to God. And I can't remember the credit card thief's name. And I went in as a girl named Pamela. I wore a hat. I was allowed to leave during the day. So the whole, you've got 17 days in federal prison, you've got 30 days in a rehab, and you've got 90 days in a halfway house where I'm actually able to leave at night, but it's very scary. And during my time in prison, I went on an audition and I walked in. This is how we'll wrap up the story. I walked in and Tracy fucking Lords is sitting there. I'm in fucking prison. I'm going to have to pee when I get back. And so I walk out, I call my agent. I'm like, I'm not doing it. Tracy Lords is here. He goes, get your ass back in there, get the role, then you turn it down. So I go back in, I'm reading the script. There's one dialogue between myself and Dennis Franz. And I say to him, I want to lick your lollipop. I go off the board. I am not licking a fucking lolly. I'm not saying that line. I'm not doing it. I don't want the role. Get your ass back in there, get the role, and then walk in. So I go back in because I'm now going to go confront Tracy.
And is this NYPD Blue?
What this is NYPD okay. Blue, but nobody knew. Nobody it didn't have a name at the time.
Okay.
It was the one of the first six episodes or something, which was nominated for 5 Emmys, 1-3 with me as the guest star. So the good thing is I didn't give a fuck if I got the role. All I wanted to do was kill Tracy Lords because I'm doing time right fucking now. I'm out for the day and she's in the same room. So I went in. I didn't give a shit about the role. I knew the dialogue. I just did it. And first time ever, they placed me on hold immediately. So I did the role.
You know, I just heard an interview with Woody Harrelson yesterday, and he was talking about how when he had been working as an understudy on Broadway, so then he goes to interview to try out for the role on Cheers, and he walked in there saying, so the guy that he was the understudy for had just been arrested or something like that, and this Broadway play had called him and said, come on back, you're going to be the star now of this Broadway play. So he walks into the Cheers thing saying, I don't fucking care one bit whether I get this because I already have my dream job waiting for me at home. And he says, you know, turns out that's the best way to audition is when you don't really want the role.
It is. It is. I am right now, I've got a film that I really, 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 really want. It's a fabulous character. I sent my audition tapes in on Monday. The writer and I have been speaking, but she's been out sick, so they haven't made any decisions yet, but I have a really, really, really good chance of getting the role. I've got a film that I was supposed to be doing in April by Jim Wynorski that I did Hollywood Boulevard for. Now he's got 2 films, and the last time he put me in a film, he made me the lead, and he was happy with it. So he has said, I said I might be doing another movie. He said, I will work around your schedule. In the meantime, I get another call from another production company, and they're like 90%. They're like, well, what we're going to do is just increase. It's a small character. We're going to make it big for you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So absolutely wonderful.
And one of my pieces of art, I got commissioned today. I had put up a photo of a commissioned piece that I did for a woman who said, do anything you want. And I was obsessed with octopuses that week. So I did this giant octopus. And I saw one of my fans that lives in Las Vegas. You know, if I know some people, you know, we'll go to lunch every once in a while. And we were flipping through and I showed him the octopus. He called me this morning. He commissioned one. So I just drew her. Her name is Olivia. She's already drawn. I do the lead first because I'm making her. I'll show you to her when I'm done.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to our wrap up. And again, we got through one question off of my
Woo-hoo!
List today. So yeah, a little high five on that one. I have so much more.
Come on, fist
that,
bump. Come on.
A fist bump.
Yeah, baby.
You know, and then we're just gonna have to figure out. We're just gonna have to do a series of these where we just cover one topic at a time, and that's fine because you're fascinating and you know how to tell a story. So, talk again about where people can find you, and this time talk about your art. Like, how does somebody contact you if they want to commission art or if they want to see your work?
What you can do for my art, it's very simple. You go to gingerlynart.com. There's a drop down with, there's 12 pages that are full right now. There's a contact button where you can email me, and if it's sold, it'll say sold on it. They are all numbered. I don't tell you the name. The reason I do this is because I want to talk to you. If you're interested in my art, I want you to know the story behind the piece that you're buying. I want to tell you how I felt, what song I heard that inspired me. You know, there's a piece downstairs that I was really weepy a couple weeks ago, and somebody wanted to buy it this morning, and I had to say no. I'm not ready yet. But for the most part, what they do is they just go to gingerlynart.com, click on the contact button, send me an email. I will answer and tell you all about the photo. I'll answer any questions that you have or about the painting. And it gives us a little more so you get something personal from me. I really care. You can also find me at gingerlynn.com. And you can also find me, if you're naughty and you know it, go to gingerlandauctions.com.
Yeah, get you some worn panties.
That's right. Used panties worn by your favorite porn star. And soon, Sext Panther.
Yes, that is huge. You guys are going to have the opportunity to talk to her directly. She doesn't have an Instagram, but she is on Twitter, and it's Blame It on Ginger. And what we're going to try to do today, with Ginger's permission, is take a couple of pictures of her artwork or of us standing with her artwork, and we're going to put it on my Instagram, which is GlennKing_XX. So that's GlennKing_XX. Let's take a couple of good pictures and put them on Instagram. So thanks for listening. If you are not yet a subscriber to the podcast, this is the one thing that we ask of you in exchange for providing with all this entertainment. And that is subscribe to the podcast. So whether you're listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, YouTube, whatever it is, do go on there. But give us a 5-star review. Subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate you. We thank you very much for listening today. Again, it's me and the great Ginger Lynn.
Woo, thank you.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.